Well, many of the protesters across the country are young, like Michael Blackson, who just graduated from high school in Washington, D.C. Among the thousands who came out to protest against racism and police brutality in front of the White House recently, Jacob Fenstam of member station WAMU has this profile.
In the shaky video footage Michael took with his phone, you can see rows of federal police in riot gear just on the other side of the black chain link fence, beyond the police, Lafayette Square, and the White House. All along the fence, protesters are yelling expletives at the stony-faced police. Then you can hear Michael's voice from behind the camera.
Listen, you guys are human first!
Michael yells to the officer closest to him, trying to make a connection amid all the noise.
Sir, I respect you.
The officer is white. He's wearing khaki camouflage, helmet, and sunglasses, and what appear to be canisters of tear gas dangling from his uniform. He turns to Michael and nods almost imperceptibly, then turns away.
But you guys are human, bro.
Michael says that moment has stuck with him. He made a connection through the fence, however brief and silent.
I just want to have a dialogue. That's all I want. But he just like nodded. And that was enough for me.
Michael has hardly left his apartment since the pandemic started and D.C. schools shut down in mid-March. He spent his days doing schoolwork online, playing PlayStation, so it was a big deal to suddenly be downtown surrounded by a crowd. Michael went with a group of friends. Things went downhill after that connection through the fence. One of his friends got pepper sprayed.
He's like, what's going on?
I asked Michael about the context. Did his friend do anything to provoke it? But Michael took issue with my question. He said there was an assumption hidden within it.
I asked you, like, why is that the first question when, for anybody, not just you, but like, when police are behind gates, they're heavily armored, they have shields, batons, tasers, guns.
He said he hears the same kinds of questions about George Floyd.
Was George Floyd a criminal? What did he do in the first place to have his neck get kneeled on?
Michael said a better question is,
well, what didn't the cop do to save his life? He didn't get off his neck. He didn't do that.
Michael says when he saw the video of George Floyd's killing, it made him sick to his stomach. But as a young black male in America, he says he wasn't surprised. He says when he's in whiter neighborhoods, he can feel people's uneasiness. They'll even switch sides of the sidewalk.
Most white people are intimidated by me and afraid of me, but they don't know me. And that's just like, it makes me feel like an antagonist in my own story.
Michael is a big guy. He's 6'4", but he's also kind and gentle.
If you guys just only knew like who I am, like if you guys just see me as human first.
Michael went to protests a couple days in that first week of June. On June 2nd, after participating in Democracy on the Streets, he participated in another way. That night, Michael called me on FaceTime, excited.
Hey, Jacob. Yeah, I usually don't FaceTime, but I got some good news. So in light of all this, today, for the first time, I voted.
He pointed to the I voted sticker on his shirt, his first one. Michael lives in D.C.'s Ward 8. It's the poorest part of the city and also tends to have the lowest voter turnout rate. For Michael, it was especially important to vote now with everything going on in the country.
It's really showing your democracy. And if I didn't show my democracy, that would have been a hypocrisy. Woo! Can you please quote that?
Michael says he often feels invisible, especially to white people, but not lately. First, protesting right in front of the White House fence, then voting to help choose the next president of the United States. For NPR News, I'm Jacob Fenstam.
And this quick note, earlier this week, we told you about calls for the removal of a statue in Boston, a replica of one in Washington, of Abraham Lincoln with a half-naked freed slave kneeling at his feet. That man was Archer Alexander, who helped the Union during the Civil War. His descendants are proud of the statue, but Tori Bullock spoke for many black Bostonians who saw it as a painful reminder of the past.
Whenever I pass it, it just really reminds me of what people's perception of me is. And it feels less about, hey, you should remember your proud ancestors and your proud history. And it feels more about you should remember your place because you're beneath me.
Well, last night, the Boston Art Commission voted unanimously to remove that statue. Tori wants to see it in a museum, part of an educational exhibit. Stay tuned. It's here now.